hand-me-down.
Turn my microphone off. It wasn't for everybody.
I just want his hand-me-downs. That's what I want.
The June Finance Committee meeting to order. We have a pretty busy agenda today, and we have an hour in which to accomplish it. So in respect to the next committee, I'd like to get us started and to move forward. So the first item of business is to approval of the minutes from the May 6th meeting.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes. Public comments section. Again, I will repeat that we have a lot, but we absolutely want to hear from the public. So if there's anyone to speak on any issue, we want you to speak. We want you to complete your speaking, and then we will go through the items here. So is there anyone that's interested in speaking? Really? Okay. Thank you. We'll start off with the presentation of the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting.
Yes, sir. If I could have Peggy Conkle, our Finance Director, and Jonathan Edwards, our Deputy CFO. This award represents, oh, and I'd also like our finance team, if you'd please stand up. Thank you. This award represents a significant achievement by the town. It reflects the commitment of you and staff to meet the highest principles of government financial reporting. The Certificate of Achievement is the highest form of recognition in the area of governmental accounting and financial reporting, and its attainment represents a significant accomplishment by a government and its management. Credit rating agencies and other interested parties also view this award as a positive factor in decision making. Our Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, or CAFR as we refer to it, was judged by an impartial panel to meet the highest standards of the program, which includes demonstrating a constructive spirit of full disclosure to clearly communicate our financial story. Your guidance and support, along with the efforts of this finance team, have allowed the town to receive this award for the 31st time. Thank you.
Thank you to the entire staff. I know that this is, thank you for that. Even though it's 31 years, I know they don't just hand those out. The standards of the CAFR are very difficult, and I really like GFOA. They're the horse's mouth for finance and government. And I was explaining to Eric yesterday, I actually spoke at the GFOA conference, which was hilarious. but it's a great group of people, and I know that on behalf of this committee and the town, we're happy that that is your standard and that's the town standard, and but we don't take it lightly. We know it's a lot of work. So thank you very much for that, and certainly the staff again. That's great.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item is a discussion of and a possible action on potential referendum for open space. I put this on the agenda. And I want to give you a little bit of background about my thoughts to this. It's actually been brought up a few times, just discussion, but I would like the four of us to have a little bit of a discussion to see if there's any interest in taking something to council. But one of the things that in my opinion, I think that the public is asking for is for us to take a good, strong look at development, overdevelopment, traffic, and things like that. There's a few, not a few, there's parcels out there in the town left, large parcels of land that not if they get developed, when they get developed, will further be a problem to what we have going on in the town right now. Personally, I think the only way to have those properties not be developed is to have the town step up and buy it. I'm a property rights person underneath all of this, and I think that people that have that property should be able to develop their property as the town zones it. But if we could not have that happen, I think that would be great for us. And so my thought was to look at a referendum where we looked at maybe two funding cycles, 30 years, 15 year. And I'm not saying this is what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm thinking this. We'll start discussion in a minute. Two 15-year cycles, and then have the referendum stop. Have it sunset, and then no longer collect the money, so that we can explain to the citizens that it is for a specific purpose. I believe 30 years from now, I don't know if the town will be completely developed, but a lot of those decisions are going to be behind us there. And rather than, we've had some people come to us and say, would you like to buy this property? And then we decide and we look, and then we see if we have money. I wish that if this could happen, we would actively go after the properties that would help us curb the development. So that was my thought. Two funding cycles. I'm thinking $20 million each cycle. And because I think that probably we're going to need that much to get this done. And then I also kind of like referendums, because if the public says, no, I don't want to do this, then we don't do it. But if the public says, yes, we think this will help, then I think we take a look at it. So I'd like to open this up for discussion if anybody has any comments. Mr. Santos?
Yeah, Tom, I'll start off. I agree with you. I like referendums as well, because that's how you kind of take the temperature of the community to see what they want to do and what they don't want to do. I've seen referendums pass and fail. And so I think it's a good idea that we ask them and get their opinion on how we should move forward to try and curb over development and try and at least get a control on some of the issues we have with transportation and because of that. So I think it's a good idea.
Anybody else? Mr. Bustos?
Yeah, and I advocated at one time buying some land, town, acquiring some land, and then controlling it for economic development. I have done that, and otherwise, I don't think the town should be a big landholder. But there are reasons, and I don't believe you can ever go wrong with asking the public how they feel about it. So,
Ms. Landing.
So I have a couple of thoughts on this. One is, I'm in complete agreement that it's certainly not harmful to ask the public things, as long as the way the question, because sometimes it's a lot about the way you ask the question. And so if you ask the question in a way that leads to a certain thought process, then it could be difficult, and we could look at that down the road. But I do want to share three different thoughts in regard to open space and controlling growth. I believe we've heard loud and clear that there's three major issues facing our town for the long term as well as in the short term. And one is traffic and congestion and all the things it takes to try to deal with that. And another one is financial ability, where we look at things like having to raise fees because of drainage issues, or we look at trying to raise millage because of this, all these different things. And then the other one is workforce, having folks actually be here. And we see it all over town right now that there are places advertising for help wanted that some places have actually had to close down because they don't have it. They can't get enough people that can afford to live here. So where am I going with this? Well, each one of those things can be answered by some of our open space. One of the biggest things that I think most of us recognize is that during hard times in the economy, like 2008, just after that, a lot of land was turned over that was commercial or industrial or in some way intended for economic development and was turned over to residential. And that's some of how we got where we are today. What we're trying to do and what we're working on is to take some of the remaining land and encourage those folks that own that land to bring terrific businesses here, including economic development projects, including things that will provide great high-end jobs so that we don't have people having to cross the bridge to go to work all the time, which we see so much of. And on the reverse side, people having to come here from North Charleston, Goose Creek, and other places that creates a lot of traffic coming this way, because this is where a lot of jobs are, but they can't afford to live here. So when you start looking at land, and I just had a discussion last week on behalf of the Economic Development Committee preparation with one of our big land holders, a very, very large piece of property. What's going on now? He's actually looking to address all of those issues, workforce housing, bringing some great businesses to this side of the bridge, et cetera. And so if we were to go out and say, wait, we need to buy some of that land ourselves as a town, we are now putting the town's money at risk. Whereas here's a developer who already has all the, and he's from Mount Pleasant his whole life, and his family's from Mount Pleasant, and he really wants the best for Mount Pleasant. So why not continue the path that we're on before we start saying to the public, do you mind if we spend this money? Would you like us to spend this money to buy open space? The other thing we would need to do, and this is all I have to say on it right now, is we need to see what we already own, because there's so many terrific projects in the works now, in addition to all the land that the town already owns and the parks that are owned by the Charleston County, et cetera. We have a lot of beautiful open space, and we have more things that are being developed, like our Rifle Range park. So I don't think it's called that, Hibben Park or whatever, but anyway. So those are just things to think about.
Okay. Do we have any do we have a desire to have Marcy work on a question with the math involved? And Eric, from what I understand, this can be brought back to us with the details in July and still have time to have this on the question if we do it before August. Is that accurate?
You nailed it, Mr. Chairman. First week of August, excuse me, is the deadline for the question to be submitted to Charleston County Board of Elections. So there'd have to be two readings of council before that time.
So we will have time to come back and, if we want to do this, button up the wording a little bit better.
Yes.
I think hearing from all three other people, I thought there were great points. One is, what is the amount going to be and what will that actually do? But one of the things Mr. Busso said that I don't think we can gloss over is the public's going to want to know, what are we going to do with this land? And I don't think the answer is just hold it. I think that we have to have some ideas about for possible use of ABCDE so that they know. And we can solve problems with land. I think the things you mentioned, Kathy, can be solved with land. So do you need any more from us, or are there any committee members that would like to add more to help Marcy and Eric with what we want to maybe bring something back to us that that we may be able to discuss? Yes.
You did make me think of something else.
Oh, sure.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So two thoughts come to mind on this one, and the first one is, again, I just caution the timing of this. We're already going to be discussing later in this about how to pay for things like the drainage in Old Village that we know needs to be funded. And that would involve, at least as proposed, a $20 million revenue bond. We've just issued a $30 million GO for the public services, and we have a $20 million SRF that we're about to start paying on state revolving fund loan for the Snee Farm drainage improvements. So we already just right now have $50 million we've committed to, and another $20 million we're talking very seriously about in the very near future. So one, I think timing of, how would the public feel about us adding more debt because of purchasing land, is I think a little bit early. I think maybe getting us a little further along. The second thing is the election in November is for council members. There's no mayoral race. There are probably other things. I imagine there might be some state things, whatever. Whatever it is, I know we have council elections. This is traditionally a lower turnout, and because of that, in fact, I think our last election with the mayor was the largest we'd ever had for just local municipal, or one of the largest. Next year, 2020, is a presidential election, and a lot of people in the town will turn out. And it seems to me we want, if we're going to do a referendum, it's better to get more voices saying this is what they'd like to see happen, rather than making a decision based on perhaps a fairly small sampling of our community. So I would really recommend that we not ask staff to do this now, but perhaps keep it on the back burner and do it for next year.
Okay. Mr. Woodsos?
excuse me. I was just going to suggest that we take this to council next week and go ahead, and before we have staff doing a lot of work, let's make sure that council's either up or down on it, and that way you know, we can move forward with some relative certainty one way or the other.
I think that's a good idea, because this way we'll have all nine opinions on this. And so do we need a motion to take this to council?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we take the idea of a referendum to council for discussion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
I was going to say one more thing before we vote. I just want to make sure people realize that, again, if we vote in favor of this, like say it's unanimous, then it appears to council like we voted unanimously to do this. That's how I've seen everything work. So I just want to make sure people know that before I vote, at least.
Okay. I don't think that was the motion.
No, it wasn't, but that's how it ended.
So, all right. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays?
Nay.
Okay. So 3-1, we will take this issue to council for discussion and the ability to move forward or not. Thank you. Next, Thomas and Hutton, engineering to purchase Tom property request.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We received a request from Thomas and Hutton Engineering, local firm, been here a long time, done a lot of work for us, to purchase an area of property which is indicated. You see the yellow, the yellow border right above that location. There you go, Marcy. Thank you. Right in there, it's about an acre of land owned by the town. And they're doing very well. They're looking for an opportunity to expand. In some ways, this is an economic development type request. Tony Woody is here. Many of you know Tony and his position with Thomas and Hutton. He's available to provide any questions and even some perspective and history on the request.
Okay. I think that would be great to hear from Tony, but from the town first, what is your recommendation as it relates to use? Do you foresee a future use?
I do not for the town.
Okay.
In fact, Thomas and Hutton represents sort of exactly the type of business and employment opportunities for the community. So if it was council's desire and if council had the appetite to sell this property, I think it would make a lot of sense. My only concern is that, and I think Tony can address this, he and I have already talked about it, is that if the town were to turn over or sell this property, that we'd be counting on Thomas and Hutton to further their commitment in the town for the long term. In other words, the last thing we'd want to see, and I am in no way suggesting they would do this, is for all of a sudden they acquire the property and package it as some form of land sale. We wouldn't want that to happen. We'd be selling it to them for their long-term expansion.
Okay. Before Tony speaks, if we need him, and I know we may or may not, but is there any comments by the committee on moving forward with this?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Mr. Bustos.
yeah, I think this is good. Because we don't, like I said before, we don't need to be a big landholder of parcels around the town that are kind of tucked away like this. And I think that would be a good, you know, if they're going to expand their business, that would be a better use of the land than us holding on to it.
Yes, Kathy.
I'll add to Councilman Bustos' comments because, again, as we just discussed, there are individual businesses, corporations that want to do business here, that want to expand here, and when you can have private money to pay for these things, it allows the town to use whatever it costs for that acre of land, it allows the town to use that for other important operations such as drainage.
Mr. Santos, anything?
No, I agree with Joe and Kathy on that. I'm okay with it.
Okay. Mr. DeMora, one other question. Does that say 3.36 acres or 2.3, somewhere around that area? How is that zoned?
oh, it must be a public institution, I would say. The 3.3 is the balance of the land outside of the request. That includes the pond and that strip going all the way down to Shelmore. Okay. Love Four.
But that's all in it. That's all.
Oh, their request is just for the acre. Love for Thomas and Hutton to take over the pond, purchase the pond, and assume its maintenance. But I'm not sure that's part of Tony's request. He knows what it takes to maintain those ponds. And
so do we.
That's right.
Yes, Gary.
Eric, do those ponds serve as water detention? I mean, is runoff going there? So that's really beneficial for us, right, for our drainage?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But it takes...
I want to leave those ponds.
No, we're not thinking of doing away with the ponds, but
just owning the land.
In most cases, the ponds that reside around commercial are owned by someone other than us to maintain. Any?
Do we make a motion on this one? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I make a motion that we grant the request to Thomas and Hutton to look into purchasing the acre of land contiguous with their property from the town.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So what we'll do going forward, based on your approval, is we'll work with Mr. Woody on the appraisal of the property. And then we'll have to bring it back to you one more time for approval and then on to council for the sale of a town property.
Okay. Thank you for doing that. All right. We have a discussion on the possible action of Mount Pleasant Waterfront Park Pier Extension. I'm the person that made a motion at the council meeting right before the stake was driven in the heart of this project to say, can we bring it back and have a discussion about this. And in my opinion, if we do away with this pier extension project, I don't think it'll ever come up again in the history of the town. Speaking of this, the provider of a lot of waterfront services in the town, there are some excited people about the future growth of this area and how the water will be able to transport people from place to place to place. The city of Charleston, the marina in North Charleston, and if we don't have this here, then that area would be out. I think eventually Patriots Farm probably could accommodate this somehow, but I think that if we do away with this, we're giving away an opportunity for something in the future that could be great. The other thing, I asked this question before I even let my thoughts fester in this a couple of months ago, was, if we didn't do this, could we use this money for drainage? Could we use this money to go back in the general fund? Could we use this? And the answer to that is no. So we have the opportunity, we have funding, and we have a chance to get this. And so before it really died, I wanted to just bring it back to this committee to see what the opinion is so that we can address this once and for all. Any comments?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I think one of the important aspects of that as well, and I know I mentioned it at council meeting, is for our first responders to be able to have their boats parked down there. As you know, that's kind of in the central part of Mount Pleasant. So the response time to an incident up to Wando or around toward Alhambra Hall area would be much faster, much quicker if the boats are already in the water and they can just respond. You know, we have a police substation right there at Waterfront Park, so they would be able to respond very quickly to any kind of incident that would be out there. Not only that, but to assist Coast Guard or the other police boats on other incidents that are out there. Secondly, you know, it'd be great to be able to have the CARTA or the waterfront taxis to be able to transport people from the city of Charleston or other places over to there for functions that we're having. So that eliminate having to have cars, more cars on our roads. And not to mention if the fact if we have another issue like we had on 526 where one of the lanes or something is blocked for reasons that we could use it to be able to shuttle people back and forth. And thirdly, I think also it's important that maybe people can park there and take the shuttle to the city of Charleston if they're going to school or going to work where they know they're going to have certain hours and certain times, once again, taking more cars off the road. So to me, it has multiple uses, not just for fishing and not just for dropping people off, but I think there's a lot of bit more benefits to having that pier there than just having a pier where people will be fishing.
Other comments? Mr. Bustos?
Yeah, I think for the people that use that water shuttle, it's fine, but that's actually a small operation. That's not big. That's not going to transport a lot of people to work if 526 is closed or anything like that. And if we put police and fire boats and all this down there, I think the fire boat already has a slip over at Patriots Point, does it not? You know, we're paying, what's it, $8 million for eight slips, seven slips?
$6 million for the pier expansion and eight transient slips.
Okay, eight for transient slips. So the whole package is $14 million. Right, eight and six?
No, sir, the whole pier with the slips is somewhere around $6
million. Oh,
okay.
Hasn't
been bid yet. So that's
anyway, we're spending millions of dollars for a half dozen slips or so. And as far as the police boat goes, the folks who are at the substation on the at the park are not necessarily those that are qualified to be boat crew. Chief, I imagine there's some qualification before people start taking the boats out. Yeah, yeah. And I imagine that the police are the same. So when the call goes out for that they need to activate the boat crew, they'll have to come from wherever they are, wherever they're working at the time, to the boat. It's not like they're going to be sitting right there ready to hop on the boat and go. I just think it's too much money for too little. I mean, sure, it looks great, and I'm sure people would enjoy it, but I just don't know if that's the best use. And after all this, even though it's TIF money, it's still the taxpayers' money. So I just think that's too much or too little bang for the buck, I guess you could say.
Ms. Landy?
Do we have a slide of the phase two and then the phase, I think it's phase three, the other one?
What do we have?
Or phase one and phase two. Do we have any of those slides like we saw in council?
I don't have that slide. I have a slide of, but I can describe them all in detail.
Well, it's all right. I can describe it too. I just wondered because anybody could see it, but it's okay. All right. Well, let me just say we haven't said anything about the other part of the story, and that is that the other phase, which is also in design, and which can also use the TIF money. So that money does not have to go to waste or not be used for the benefit of Mount Pleasant citizens, is the part where we would expand the, yes. So we have the, well, Banna White here. So we have the pier sticking out part, which would be with the 10 slips, including the two for first responders, the eight for transients who cannot park there overnight. They cannot dock there overnight. They can only use it during the day. But that's kind of the main thing. Now, we have to break this apart. So how important is having the police boat be able to be securely docked there? Chief Ritchie would have to address that more directly for us. But we already have Chief Mixon here. They already are docked, as Mr. Bustos pointed out, at Patriots Point at Charleston Harbor Marina. The ferry portion. Once again, we have a ferry service from Charleston Harbor Marina. It is very light. I don't know how much it's used. We probably should have that data before we start talking about is this worth $7 million or $6.5 million worth of tax money. We also know there's a $1.2 million grant from the federal government, which would go away if we don't do this. We also know there's about $700,000 that was spent already, $700,000 or $800,000 that was spent on the study for this. That would not go away. The study would remain. Here's the point. We have this other phase, and what the other phase includes, again, everybody up here knows it, but not everybody in the audience necessarily, is it includes a restaurant to be an expansion of the current sort of beverage and refreshments building we have there. It includes a dog park, a splash pad, and probably the most, the one that seems the most operations or maintenance oriented is to finish out our overflow parking. So people aren't parking in the grass or the dirt or whatever. We actually have a full parking lot that supports all of the activity at Waterfront Park. These things added together cost about the same. They cost about $7 million, I believe. We hadn't identified where that money is going to come from, which means that in order for that part to be completed, which will impact a lot more people in our town and benefit a lot more people, in order to have that money be available at some point, we'd have to find a funding source, perhaps tax money down the road. So no, we can't take this money for the pier and turn around and pay drainage with it. But what we could do is we could take the money from the pier, pay for this other phase that has a much bigger impact and potentially we could argue more necessity associated with it, at least if you say the parking part is a necessity. And now we don't have to find that money down the road and we don't have to take it from other things that might be more essential. So again, I think that's the most important part of this. We would not be wasting the TIF money. We would be using it. It is allowed. We already know that. And then finally, I want to add one more thing. On the subject of ferries, I'm a big proponent of ferries. Because of where my former company was headquartered at Lincoln Harbor in New Jersey, I took the ferry all the time into New York. It was wonderful to be able to park and not have to get on any of those bridges or tunnels. I'll just say, though, we can bring in a private corporation that has an interest in doing this. The explosive global interest we have in the Charleston metro area is very exciting. And I've already been in touch with someone who is a former ferry captain who has given me names of companies that he thinks could have an interest in this area. I think we could explore that because if they come in, we're talking about something that could be very impactful both in terms of investment in our community and paying for whatever piers or whatever infrastructure they need at that time and not have it be taxpayer money or perhaps have it be a private-public partnership at that time. Thank you.
Gary.
Yeah, just one last thing. The overflow parking. Eric, how many times a year do you think we have large enough functions that would require that overflow parking? I go down there and go by there all the time. Seems like blessing of the fleet, we use it. And maybe party of the park once in a while. How many times do we actually use that overflow parking? I mean, there's already paved parking on the other side as well. But, I mean, is it used so often that we really need to pave all that?
I'd say at least once a month.
Okay, once a month. So we're going to pave all that parking and use it once a month. To me, it's not the best way to spend the money. Secondly, the dog park. The dog park requires a fence around it pretty much, maybe some water. It's not an elaborate dog park, so it's not going to cost a lot of money to do a dog park. We could probably do that out of the budget sometime because it just doesn't require a whole lot, a fence and some way of getting water to the dogs over there. But other than that, I haven't seen any elaborate ones like the one they do it over at Waterworks. It's just a fence with a spigot where you can fill up the water for your dogs, and that's pretty much it. So you're not talking about a lot of money there either. So to me, you know, I don't think we, A, need to expand the parking for once a month, people, you know, to overflow park. It'd be different if we were using it multiple times and it was an issue, but it's not an issue. So to me, I think we'd be wasting that money by putting it over on that phase rather than putting it down at the pier where we can benefit. Another opportunity or issue was I spoke to Carter about this. They did a little committee, and they came back with their findings that they think it's a great idea that we have an area up here where they can maybe even look at doing some water transportation themselves. And I will be happy to bring you the minutes of that meeting and show you that they thought it was a good idea to start something like that that might be able to move some people without having to put them on the road. So Carter liked the idea as well of having a pier out there where we could bring shuttles back and forth. So when you put all this together, it just seems like it's more beneficial to the town, especially since the money is earmarked for that. It's been an approved project, and that's something that hadn't been mentioned yet. It's an approved project to expand this pier, and we're going to lose $1.2 million of federal money if we don't do it. So if we turn our backs on this, We lose that money. We develop a parking lot that's not going to be used but once a month in a dog park. And you know, we talked about the restaurant. I'm not sure we couldn't get a public-private partnership to do the restaurant where we wouldn't have to pay for all that. That's another issue. But I think if you look at the facts clearly, clearly the extension of the waterfront pier has so many more benefits than paving a parking lot that's used once a month or in a dog park that can be easily put together without having to use those funds. And I think we can do all of it without having to touch those funds. Anyhow, that's just my opinion.
Okay, we have had good discussion. Mr. Bustos?
Can I ask Eric a question?
Sure.
Eric, it seems to me it was mentioned if we take that $1.2 million in federal funds, are we allowed to put water taxis there?
We have to go. That 1.2 is not associated with the water taxis. We'd have to go back and amend our permits to allow the water taxi long term.
We have to amend
the permit we have in place, yes.
Oh, okay.
But Eric, if we don't use it toward a pier, then it's gone.
Yes.
There you go. There you go. All right. I think Ray Charles can see that.
So what we have is we've had our discussion. Our action is to the issue on the table is the possible action on the Mount Pleasant Waterfront Pier Extension Project. So we need a motion to either take to council a recommendation to move forward with the project or to take to council a recommendation to not move forward with the project. So is there any recommendation?
I'll make a motion that we move forward for the recommendation of the park of the phase two with the extension of the pier.
Okay. I'll second that. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
No.
Okay. Do we have any other motions? That motion failed?
I make a motion that we redirect the TIF money funds to be used for the other phase to include the splash pad for our children in the community as well as the other aspects that were presented in the design.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. So we will take this to council and they'll figure it out. All right, thank you. Moving on to the next, we have a request from the Harbor Entrepreneur Center for financial support. We have
Daniel Stern.
Yes.
Daniel Stern is here. There he is. Oh, and of course, Patrick Bryant.
Yes. Do you want to summarize this for us?
Absolutely. They're looking to return to Mount Pleasant and are asking for a $50,000 contribution to support operations over here in the town.
Now, is this as a part of the next budget? Is this how does this, or is this just if we?
Yes, sir.
This is something we wanted to do. We don't have the funding identified in this year's budget right now.
That's correct. Upon approval of council, you know that this has come in after our a process that you're aware of that takes us into the budget,
right.
And. What's the name of it again?
It's the Community Investment
Community
Policy.
Investment Policy.
Right.
But the request has been made, and so it would have to take a budget allocation out of the current year's budget that was at council last month.
Okay. Do we have any comments? Mr. Bustos?
We've had one other request, which we've turned down, I believe, if I recall. I think getting out of that community investment cycle is the next thing to do. Otherwise, we're going to open the floodgates, and we're going to have people coming in every month wanting some money. And I think the Harbor Accelerator, we had a pretty lengthy discussion about what Mount Pleasant, the benefit to Mount Pleasant from this. And as I recall, it was not, we didn't feel that there was great benefit for the town of Mount Pleasant from this. So, and there was earlier, but now things have moved around. So my only comment is I think it needs to, I'm not saying it's not worthy now, but I am saying that we have a process, and we should follow that process.
Ms. Landy?
I'd just say that, first of all, this is an organization that currently is located in the downtown digital campus, the Pacific Box and Crate location that everybody's familiar with. It would be wonderful to bring an incubator concept back to Mount Pleasant, in the sense that you do end up with a lot of companies that do grow up from that level and become, as it was illustrated in the letter, but we know plenty of examples of it. And this is a robust and wonderful way to bring those types of jobs potentially back to Mount Pleasant. So the thing I'm having a little trouble with is just the timing, because here we are, if we try to do this, this is a nonprofit. We did already go through that process. I don't know if the folks were aware of how that worked, and I don't know what your timetable is, whether you have enough time. If you wait till next year, that might be kind of frustrating. When is that usually presented?
February.
Okay, so February is the normal timetable. We also have another, hopefully very soon to be presented, request for a piece of land that would involve a digital campus. Now, that's not to say the Gateway Center wouldn't be a wonderful spot for this. It probably would be fantastic. But I'm just thinking that, again, this is, as Mr. Busso says, a little off the timing. So it's a little hard. I don't even know how we would do it. If we voted on this today and presented it to council, I don't even know how we would fund it, since this is not the right time. Is that right, Mr.
It'd have Lamar? To be a budget amendment.
We would have to
council.
Back. Okay.
Okay. Anything, Mr. Santos?
No, good.
Do we have a motion from anyone?
I'll make a motion that we deny the request for the Harbor Entrepreneur Center funding.
Before we up.
We need a second. Would you like to second that?
No.
Or no? Would you like to second that?
Repeat that for me, Joe.
Well, it's a request for $50,000, so the motion is to deny the request.
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Kathy?
Is there a way to I didn't make a motion in time. Is there a way to ask the question in a different way so that we say it's not that we're against the idea, this the timing's not right, or is that?
If this motion fails, mm-hmm. somebody else can bring up another motion.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second. We must act on it, mm-hmm. unless you wanted to amend your motion.
No, well, here again, the motion was to deny the request of $50,000. It doesn't say anything how worthy or unworthy the Entrepreneur Center is. It's just that we can't fund it at this time.
Right. My question was about the timing.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. So that has passed as a denial, and we will go to the next and last topic. Kathy had asked to put this on the agenda, I believe, as a possible financing term for the stormwater program, or was this more than just that?
Well, and in general.
Okay.
Not just stormwater.
All right. Go ahead.
So the reason that I asked for this to be on is we have a section of the procurement code of the town of Mount Pleasant, section 38, that says that we cannot move forward with any major project for the town without having the full funding set aside. The reason I asked us to study this is severalfold. One is because of the fact that in the example of raising stormwater fees in this next year's budget, in order to pay for a revenue stream for the $20 million revenue bond that we would issue for drainage for Old Village, I asked the question, how much of that $20 million would we actually even be using, let's just say, in the year 2020? And the answer was possibly $2 to $3 million. And on an annual basis, in the past several years, this may not be every year, But in the past several years, we have had an overage at the end of the year that has been able to be allocated half to the general fund, half to the CIP or capital improvement plan. And that may not happen every year, but it has been pretty consistent, and it's been pretty consistent at a large number, 4 to 6 million, if I'm remembering correctly, so that if we needed to come up with money to start a project, but not necessarily have the whole thing paid for, knowing full well we have to do the drainage project as it comes along. There's another issue out there, which is that there's approximately $7 million in grant requests, which we're waiting to hear on. Maybe we've already heard on one since the last meeting, but this includes funds from FEMA and from the state of South Carolina, and maybe it's DOT. I'm not sure who it's from, but state of South Carolina. There's three different sources. If any of those, even if none of them pay, then that's a problem. But if any of those come forth, let's say we actually raise $2 to $3 million, that already by itself covers what we need for 2020. Once you issue that revenue bond, that interest has to be paid annually. So I asked the question in the council meeting, how much would that be? And the amount was estimated to be perhaps around $700,000 plus per year. So the thought was, if we didn't have to issue that $20 million revenue bond to have that money just sitting there for however long it will take to complete the project, if we could pay with various funds that are available, such as the agency money, if it comes through, which I think we'll know within a few months. Is that true?
By October, we believe. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so by October, we'll have our answer. If it's no, it's no. Then we can go. The point is that we could go forth at some other point and issue a revenue bond, and perhaps the amount would be less than $20 million, which saves our taxpayers a lot of money along the way. Finally, I just want to mention that there are other projects on the books now where money has been allocated where, for whatever reason, we have determined that we should not go forth with those projects right now. And when these things happen, if it's money that is not specific, such as TIF money or other, it can be reallocated back to the capital improvement plan, and it can be directed towards drainage. And so I wanted to first, there's a couple different thoughts on this, but wanted to hear how the pay-as-you-go concept would work, and also share with you that where I came up with it was from Charleston County Council, because they actually do have a pay-as-you-go. I think it's a little different, and Ms. Kotov is going to share that with us.
Yes, ma'am. So first, what I did is I'm showing the different codes and the requirements of providing the funding. So first you have the town codes, which is Chapter 38, Section 5B, that simply states that adequate monies have to be verified before we begin our procurement process. Also, at the state constitution level, Article 10, Section 8 states that expenditures should not be made until there are adequate appropriated funds. So we mirror that same state constitution. And then the Federal Anti-Deficiency Act, 31 U.S.C. 1341, requires that obligations not be incurred in excess of appropriated funds. So again, we just are mirroring straight down from the federal government in our current code. Now, the pay-as-you-go financing, from the government perspective, what that means is that you don't bond fund and debt fund everything. That what you do is you either make a percentage. I've worked where it's been 20%. So we say before we do a project, we want 20% of the funding identified, even if it's in a future year. So what we would do is we look at impact fees, for instance, and we might say we're going to obligate those for the next 5 years or 10 years to pay for this project, that then once we've identified the funding source, we then can go ahead and procure it. So in a case where on the books what the town council has adopted has been the stormwater program that says we're going to borrow $21 million, or 20, sorry, the program's 21 for the year. Of that $20 million, it does not mean that you have to run out and borrow. It does mean that what you've done is you've identified a source of funding. You can certainly wait to borrow it, but you have to have that on the books to begin the project. They have to know, the vendor, when they come in, that there is funding dedicated to that project and that we have encumbered those funds even if we don't receive them for multiple years. It's been the town. They've had the benefit of pretty much pay-as-you-go 100%. We don't debt fund that much, that often. But there are places that is the mechanism. So what they do is this pay-go. They say we want a certain amount of cash identified each year. But you have an appropriation on the books of that amount of money, and it doesn't mean at the end of the day when you do your ordinances you have to borrow the full amount. You can certainly change the funding sources of that $20 million.
So if I could then ask a question as a follow-up. In the discussions we had about the budget, we were talking about a $20 million revenue bond.
Yes, ma'am.
And we were talking about issuing it in time for the beginning of this project, correct, next year?
Yes, ma'am. What is required is that we do a resolution. So the first step is a resolution that says we may expend monies prior to actually borrowing. So we typically don't want to borrow too far in advance. So what we do is we would issue a resolution the council would approve saying we are going to, any monies from this point forward, we will reimburse ourselves when we do borrow. But it doesn't mean that you can't identify other funding. The $20 million, you could reallocate the funding in different sources, but they do have to be identified.
So the increase in the stormwater fee, which was, and I know that's going to be another whole discussion, but the purpose of that was actually to provide the interest on this bond, if I understood correctly, or it would cover the interest on the bond as estimated, correct?
And the principal.
And principal, right, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so a couple things on this. Again, I look at something like drainage, which is essential, and maintenance has to happen, should have already happened, but we weren't here. You know, I look at that as something that is part of an operational issue. It's something that should have been happening all along. It hasn't, but we're getting to it. That's great. We've already done the study. We're already doing SNE Farm with the state revolving fund, which we're already going to start paying off, which will be paid off over 5 years, if I understood that correctly. So the difference here is that normally, like a revenue bond, if you, in the world of municipal bonds, of investing in them and so forth, you usually think of something that's creating a revenue source, such as improving a water sewer service treatment, where you're having a much expanded town like we have had, and now you issue a revenue bond because you're going to have a lot more money because you have a lot more people, or a revenue bond because you build a Convention and Visitors Bureau Center. And so now that source of revenue from all the earnings from that will pay down the debt on this. In this case, the source of revenue will be to raise taxes on our taxpayers, because I'm sorry, a stormwater fee is the same thing as a tax, except it's a regressive tax. And so my concern here is we're treating this as something where a lot of these folks have already been paying stormwater fees for quite a few years, and I'll go back to the old village citizens. They haven't had this, and yet now we would have to increase the fee just to pay for it. So going back to pay as you go. My reason for bringing this up is if we change this ordinance to allow for some discretion on the part of council to make decisions with staff's help when it's appropriate, in a case of something that's a maintenance issue that we know needs to happen, there wouldn't be any doubt that we're going to have to do this and that we're going to have to pay for it. The only thing would be is, do we pay for it by appropriating all the money up front, or do we identify sources as we go along, and let's say 2 to 3 years out, we don't have any overage in the budget, or we don't have any other source. Looking ahead, since we always look ahead, we could then do something in the way of bonding if necessary. And perhaps by the time we got to that point, the SRF for SNE Farm would be paid off. I mean, that's an if. I realize it might not happen. Another thought, which actually Councilman O'Rourke had shared with me on the phone, I think it's okay that I say it, is what if the $20 million, we know that there's two major basins, I believe, that are part of that, the Edwards and the other one.
Royal.
So what if it was possible to instead break it into two different projects where we identify, okay, we're going to need this much for this one, we identify that money first and then. So pay as you go, in the way I'm thinking of it, may not be the correct way, but as you've described it, would not be to say we would try to build a public service thing without having the money set aside. Because that's a big project where you're hiring someone, you're contracting, you've got to pay for it based on that schedule. This would, and that's a geo bond anyway, but this would be different. This would be where we know this maintenance has to happen, and we'd like to pay for it from various sources that we can find as we go along until the point that we can't, at which point we could issue a smaller debt.
Okay. Thank you.
I know that was a lot. I'm sorry.
No, it was fine. You're allowed to say whatever you want. The issue for today, great points that I think will have to come out when we talk about the hard decisions of actually funding the drainage things.
Mm-hmm.
The point today is there a desire to change Chapter 38 of the Town Procurement Code to eliminate that wording that states you have to have a funding source in place before purchase? So that's the question that we have right now. So we need to know if there is a motion or a desire to take that to council at this time.
Right, and I do want to just go back and say on the South Carolina Constitution and the federal regulations, allowing no expenditure until there are adequate appropriated funds to meet the expense. Again, this is when you're talking about the entire $20 million and you're saying this is what this project will cost. If you think about how you would pay for something if you needed to have work done even on your own house, I realize that's a tiny little microcosm. I'm just saying we're not talking about not doing the project. We're not talking about not spending the money, but do you have to have the entire amount set aside in advance and available, already identified? And that's – so I guess the question is, do you perceive, Marcy, Ms. Kotov, do you perceive that this is even allowable, or is it your perception that this is not allowable?
It is my understanding that it's not allowable. Even if the money is if you won't generate it for another year, you've identified an obligated impact fees or debt bond up front, you have that money to award that contract. We typically won't even solicit without it, and that's been my practice, and I think it's best practice with GFOA. And based on state and federal, I'm not sure it's allowable any other way.
Mm-hmm. So what is it about Charleston County that they can do this?
They have a funding source.
They've obligated that funding source of the half cent.
They have a funding source.
Right. So they say the pay-as-you-go. They use that terminology, but really they're not. They're really still doing it the same way.
Actually, we're sort of doing pay-as-you-go, in my opinion. You have the ability when bonds are, you know, whenever we bond anything, you don't run out and get the money in and put it in a pot in your drawer. I mean, we may use general fund money to hold off actually going out for the bond. We may think interest rates will be better later. And so you have that flexibility the way I see it right now. I think we're sort of kind of paying as we go, using our own way. We just have to identify that there's a funding source in place, I think. And I think that's the whole crux. So the issue for today is recommending to the council whether we amend that or not.
Well, it sounds like we need either to do more work on it or there's no point in making a motion on this.
I think that's probably a good idea if we can.
There's nothing wrong with discussing it.
There's nothing wrong with discussing it.
There's nothing wrong with discussing it.